Istruzioni per la prova d'ascolto, primo anno. Siete in sede di esame, quindi assicuratevi che i vostri cellulari siano spenti e non in vista. Siete pregati di scrivere il vostro nome e cognome su ogni foglio che vi sarà consegnato. Le risposte vanno scritte sullo stesso foglio delle domande negli appositi spazi. Il foglio protocollo va usato solo per gli appunti. Questo foglio va riconsegnato alla fine dell'esame, ma non verrà considerato nella valutazione dei compiti. Dovete scrivere solo con la penna blu o nera. È vietato l'uso del bianchetto. È vietata ogni comunicazione tra i candidati. Per qualsiasi problema, rivolgetevi alla persona docente. La prova d'esame del livello B1 consiste in 5 domande a risposta libera e 5 domande a risposta vero o falso. Dovete rispondere a tutte le domande. Non dovete scrivere in frasi completi, ma dovete utilizzare espressioni adatte alle risposte strutturate in modo corretto. Ad esempio, se la risposta richiede un elenco, seguite le forme corrette per costruire un elenco. Se la risposta richiede un'espressione breve, deve essere comunque costruita secondo le regole di grammatica. Potete prendere visione del foglio delle domande sin dall'inizio dell'esame. Avete 3 minuti dopo il primo ascolto per considerare e rispondere alle domande. Avete 4 minuti dopo il secondo ascolto per considerare e rispondere alle domande. E avete 5 minuti dopo il terzo ascolto per finire di rispondere alle domande. Qualsiasi problema di ascolto o tecnico va segnalato in questo momento. Lynn Atts, Listening Exam 3, Level B1. January 2013. Professor Peter Cullen. Text. So far, I have described the structure of institutional reality, and now it is time to say more about how these institutions actually function in human life. Of course, human institutions vary enormously, all the way from religions to nation-states to sports teams to corporations, and I will not attempt to make empirical generalizations about them. I will simply identify some purely formal features they have in common that allow them to function in human life in a way that is not like anything I know of in non-human animal life. I have been describing this formal feature by saying that institutional facts give us the ability to create obligations among people. They give us the power of obligations and promises. So far, I have simply listed examples of obligational powers. Typical names for obligational powers are rights, duties, authorizations, requirements, permissions, and certifications. These nouns connect with important verbs, especially the modal auxiliary verbs ought, should, can, and must. So, for example, I must give a lecture tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. because I am under a binding obligation to both my students and to the university to give a lecture at that time. These are the types of things I had in mind when I said that obligational powers give us a reason for actions that are independent of our personal desire. However, if that were the only point to having institutional facts, they would give us a rather dull and depressing life. The main point of institutions is that they create enormous possibilities. So, for example, you cannot desire to make a lot of money, get married, or become president of the United States unless there are the institutions of money, marriage, and the presidency of the United States. This stands also for informal, uncodified institutions. You cannot want to have a great love affair or give a dinner party without the corresponding status functions given to those situations. The existence of institutions, as I have emphasized many times, gives us all kinds of possibilities that we could not otherwise think of. We have possibilities that are unknown even to the advanced primates of species different from our own. Intentionality, which will form the essential prerequisite for understanding social existence. You now have 3 minutes to consider and answer the questions on your question paper. Lynn Atts, Listening Exam 3, Level B1, January 2013. Professor Peter Cullen. Text. So far, I have described the structure of institutional reality, and now it is time to say more about how these institutions actually function in human life. Of course, human institutions vary enormously, all the way from religions to nation-states to sports teams to corporations, and I will not attempt to make empirical generalizations about them. I will simply identify some purely formal features they have in common that allow them to function in human life in a way that is not like anything I know of in non-human animal life. I have been describing this formal feature by saying that institutional facts give us the ability to create obligations among people. They give us the power of obligations and promises. So far, I have simply listed examples of obligational powers. Typical names for obligational powers are rights, duties, authorizations, requirements, permissions, and certifications. These nouns connect with important verbs, especially the modal auxiliary verbs ought, should, can, and must. So, for example, I must give a lecture tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. because I am under a binding obligation to both my students and to the university to give a lecture at that time. These are the types of things I had in mind when I said that obligational powers give us a reason for actions that are independent of our personal desire. However, if that were the only point to having institutional facts, they would give us a rather dull and depressing life. The main point of institutions is that they create enormous possibilities. So, for example, you cannot desire to make a lot of money, get married, or become president of the United States unless there are the institutions of money, marriage, and the presidency of the United States. This stands also for informal, uncodified institutions. You cannot want to have a great love affair or give a dinner party without the corresponding status functions given to those situations. The existence of institutions, as I have emphasized many times, gives us all kinds of possibilities that we could not otherwise think of. We have possibilities that are unknown even to the advanced primates of species different from our own. Intentionality, which will form the essential prerequisite for understanding social existence. You now have 4 minutes to consider and answer the questions on your question paper. You will then listen to the text one last time. Lynn Atts, Listening Exam 3, Level B1, January 2013. Professor Peter Cullen. Text. So far, I have described the structure of institutional reality, and now it is time to say more about how these institutions actually function in human life. Of course, human institutions vary enormously, all the way from religions to nation-states to sports teams to corporations, and I will not attempt to make empirical generalizations about them. I will simply identify some purely formal features they have in common that allow them to function in human life in a way that is not like anything I know of in non-human animal life. I have been describing this formal feature by saying that institutional facts give us the ability to create obligations among people. They give us the power of obligations and promises. So far, I have simply listed examples of obligational powers. Typical names for obligational powers are rights, duties, authorizations, requirements, permissions, and certifications. These nouns connect with important verbs, especially the modal auxiliary verbs ought, should, can, and must. So, for example, I must give a lecture tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. because I am under a binding obligation to both my students and to the university to give a lecture at that time. These are the types of things I had in mind when I said that obligational powers give us a reason for actions that are independent of our personal desire. However, if that were the only point to having institutional facts, they would give us a rather dull and depressing life. The main point of institutions is that they create enormous possibilities. So, for example, you cannot desire to make a lot of money, get married, or become president of the United States unless there are the institutions of money, marriage, and the presidency of the United States. This stands also for informal, uncodified institutions. You cannot want to have a great love affair or give a dinner party without the corresponding status functions given to those situations. The existence of institutions, as I have emphasized many times, gives us all kinds of possibilities that we could not otherwise think of. We have possibilities that are unknown even to the advanced primates of species different from our own. Intentionality, which will form the essential prerequisite for understanding social existence. You now have 5 minutes to complete your answers.
That is the end of the listening exam. Please stop writing. Put the question paper inside the note sheet and hand in your papers immediately. Thank you.